Books of the Bible. The Apostle Peter wrote a second epistle to clarify and defend the Christian message. He asserts the authority of Scripture, warns against false teachers, and reminds us that the end is coming. But God is patient, allowing all of His people to come to repentance. If you want a clear contrast between true and false Christianity, look to 2 Peter. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back here on Wretched Radio. It is a Witness Wednesday. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Todd is out on the campus of Georgia Tech today. And how this works, honestly, you never really hear anything other than the conversations Todd has. But how this actually works is most students are going to walk right past him. But the ones who don't, who stop and have a conversation with him, they typically walk away a whole lot different than when they sat down. Let's get out to the campus now and listen in on who he's rounded up.
Hey, if you want to feel stupid, come to Georgia Tech. This is Kylie. You're studying neuroscience.
Yes.
I'm dumb. That's all there is to it. You're smart. I'm dumb. So do you want to be a neurosurgeon?
I want to be a neurologist.
Right. She wants to. Right, exactly. That, isn't that like operating on the brain or something?
Like something like that.
So like this, when somebody says this isn't brain surgery, you could say actually it is.
I want to do more so like the testing, not like, I don't want to be touching the brain. Like.
Well, now you treat it like it's gross. That's what you're studying.
You know, I love it, but.
You just don't want to have to, it's a really tender organ. It's an amazing organ.
All right,
so here's my question. This is what I always marvel at with medical people. Like when I go to get my eyes checked and just the intricacy of the design of the eye and the brain is just crazy. Who do you think, like, is there a God that made it, the brain?
Maybe. Like, there might be. Like, that's what I'm really interested in, is, like, how did this, like, evolve? Or, like, how did it happen, you know?
Like, well, how did it evolve?
Evolution. You have, like, you know, like, what are they called? Gorillas?
All right, let's talk about the brain. I know just a little bit. Okay, there's different portions of the brain.
Yeah.
And in order for you to operate correctly, they all need to be functioning rightly. So you've got how many quadrants to the brain? There's four, right?
Right.
Yeah, which one came first?
I would go, I don't know, honestly. I don't know. I know there's two hemispheres, and they each do different things. Like, one's more, like, artistic side of you, and the other is more logical thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know which one came first, or if it was more like a simultaneous thing, honestly.
The odds of simultaneous strike me as impossible.
Yeah.
That all of this, okay, so for instance, going back to your eye, you've got a lens, you've got a retina, you've got a cornea, you've got the little washers that, you know, clean everything with the fluid that comes. Which part of the eye do you think came first?
I would say the retina, just because so much happens there. Like, without it, you would not be able to see, like, colors or have the peripheral vision or anything, because there's rods and cones there. And your brain actually does do so much parallel processing, especially with vision, because you have different parts like V1, V2, V3, V4, V5. And it all just happens simultaneously, like V2, V3, V4, like simultaneously. So you can do, like, motion. Like, you can see motion. You can see just like how you see different things. Like, your brain just does it all at once.
It does it all at once, but we're talking about evolution.
Yeah.
How it got here. Because if you've got rods without cones, then there's no purpose for the rods and they wouldn't exist. If you've got a retina without a cornea, it can't function. So it all needed to evolve instantaneously. Otherwise, there'd be no reason for its existence. Sort of like your ability to chew food. You had to have that ability in order to digest it. You had to have hypostasis, I think that's what it's called, where it makes it go burp, burp, burp down your throat, and then it had to have a gut to land in, and it had to have the acid. Which one of those parts of the process came first?
Honestly, I have no clue.
Here's what I'm driving at, Kylie. That evolution doesn't account for which came first. Because if you've got something that requires something else, and it doesn't have the other thing, then it ceases to function. It has no purpose. So they're dependent on one another. So that points me far more toward a creator who made the brain, as opposed to a millions or billions of year process, because it doesn't make sense to me. I think you were created. That's what I think.
I agree. I think there is a higher power.
Who do you think it is?
I would say, like, God and, like, Jesus and all of that. Like, I'm a Christian.
Okay. All right, cool. So if I came up to you, Kylie, and I said, I hear you're a Christian. You're a very pleasant person. I hear you're very good at tennis. How's the bake sale for the tennis team going, by the way?
It's going good. Today's our first day.
Okay. So, you know what? I'm kind of intrigued by your belief. Tell me, Kylie, why should I become a Christian? I'm kind of interested. Go.
I think you should become a Christian because just like the why of everything, you know, because so much is here and you're able to do so many amazing things, especially like when you study like neuroscience and everything, you're just like, how did this even happen, you know? So like the origin of so many things is so unknown that I feel like there is a ultimate creator, you know, that brought the stuff here or made at least like the ground prints for it or the blueprints for it, you know?
All right. I agree with you. I look at creation and I go, this had to be made by some of this. This couldn't be random chance. It's too designed. Your eye is too intricately designed to not have a designer. I agree with that. But why should I believe the God of the universe is the Christian God?
Honestly, I don't know why. I mean, I would like to do more research onto other belief systems and see why they believe what they do versus why I believe versus what I do, because I love to learn things looking at all perspectives. And yeah, like I wouldn't say like I believe this so everyone else should believe this. I should say that everyone should do their own individual research and believe what they want to.
Okay, so then if you're interested in that, let me lay this out for you and you tell me if you agree or disagree. All right. I think that when it comes to world religions, there's two categories. Here's the first category, and in this category would be things like Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, and certain sects of Christianity like Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, even the Roman Catholic Church. Here's what they basically teach. There's a God. We are disconnected from him currently, and in order to be reconnected and potentially have a good afterlife, however you define that, we have to do good things. Okay? So do good things and maybe you'll experience a good afterlife. That's that one category. Here's the other category. It's biblical Christianity, and it says something radically different, almost counterintuitive. It says you can't do good works to get to heaven. Why? Because your hands are stained by sin, and so you can't do enough good deeds to bribe the judge because they're offered from somebody who doesn't do good. So in other words, this system says do, this system says you can't do enough. But there is somebody who has done it for you. That's Jesus Christ. God himself, the second person of the Trinity, came to earth, put on human flesh. He kept all of the laws, fulfilled all righteousness. He intentionally went to a cross. I'm telling you, he was whipped and beaten nasty and pummeled and spat upon and then hung on a cross, not as a victim, but as a volunteer. Here's what was happening on the cross. The sins of humankind were being put on the sinless Son of God, and God was pouring out his wrath on his Son so that our sinful deeds could be forgiven because he satisfies justice. This is called the good news of the gospel. Okay, these all say works. This one says, no, you can't work, but Jesus did. And if you'll repent and put your trust in him, all of your sins will be forgiven. You'll want to do good works, but your good works don't save you. Jesus saves you completely free so that you'll love him and follow him, because who else has died for somebody as sinful as us? That's basically, those are your two camps, okay? What do you think of my assessment?
I think that's a good assessment. I think everyone makes mistakes in life, and I think it's more so how you come back for them and how you change yourself, and I feel like that is like, yeah.
I think it's important to do that, but I think this goes a little bit more closer to the inner person. Mm-hmm. This has to do with our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our attitude, our trajectory, and our relationship with God. This one says right now, you're in trouble. because you've done bad things. Would you agree you've done bad things?
Yeah.
Just between you and me.
Yes.
All right, me too. And everybody has told lies, stolen things, dishonored parents, taken God's name in vain. The problem is we have a rap sheet. And the Bible says, and we like the idea of justice, the Bible says there's going to be a day of justice. Everything will be judged and everyone will be judged. You, me, everyone. And God knows everything that we've ever done that is wrong, even our thoughts, which is really kind of scary when you think about it. All right. So on the day when Kylie dies, she stands before God, who knows everything that you've done that was a sin. What should God do with you? What should he do with somebody like you and me who's broken his laws?
All right, I'm going to break in just a moment. You know the really sad and tragic part about Christianity, modern evangelicalism in this country? Most people who call themselves a Christian, they've never really been asked to defend it out loud. When that question comes unexpectedly, it shows you something about yourself that you didn't really want to know. This young woman, Kylie Todd's talking to, she just found that out. And now Todd is about to walk her into the courtroom and put right in front of her the only question that actually even matters. We'll be back to hear her response next. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, here's something that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, but it's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. A Sunday is Sunday. Work is work. Parenting is parenting. And somewhere in there, you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast, Integrated, is so incredibly important. Dr. Krotz is a pastor. He's an author. He's a biblical counselor. And he's a Fortis Institute fellow and the host of Integrated. And he is helping people see how Scripture speaks to every part of their life. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the practical, everyday, how do I actually live this stuff out? Stuff. And if what we're doing at Fortis Institute has been a source of encouragement for you, I want to ask you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Most of us haven't really thought about persecution, not the real kind, not the kind where following Jesus actually costs you something. But Christians throughout history have indeed faced it. And depending on where things are headed, we might too. So what does the Bible say you're supposed to do when the pressure mounts? That's exactly what our resource, Persecution, is all about. It's teaching built on the book of 1 Peter with historical context from the Fox's Book of Martyrs. You'll get a biblical framework for faithfulness when things aren't easy anymore. Fix your hope on heaven, grow in holiness, and submit to authority, unless they tell you to sin, and keep proclaiming the gospel anyway. This is honest teaching, and it's more timely than any of us may want to admit. Persecution, available now on Fortis Plus. Download the app for free on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. You've tried everything. You've sent articles. You've had the conversations. You've probably argued more than you wanted to. But you have a loved one who is still neck deep in the prosperity gospel or the new apostolic reformation, and nothing you seem to say gets through. It's exhausting, I know, and it's also heartbreaking. Snatch Them from the Flames was made for exactly this reason. Todd Friel and Justin Peters sit down and they tackle why your loved one is attracted to these movements in the first place. Because until you actually understand that, you're just going to be swinging in the dark. Then they walk through the things that you can actually say and do to help pull them toward Christianity. This isn't about winning an argument. It's about understanding someone you love and pointing them to something real. If you've got a family member or a friend caught up in a false gospel and you don't know what else to try, Snatch Them from the Flames is for you. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is service, the spiritual ability to meet people's physical needs. Just as Christ came not to be served, but to serve, God provides the office of deacon, those who are charged and equipped to care for the physical needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back here on Wretched Radio. Witness Wednesday is rolling on. Todd is on the campus of Georgia Tech today. He's been talking to Kylie. And when we went to break, he had her standing in the courtroom of God. And what happens over the next few minutes is going to answer a lot of questions for Kylie. Let's get back out to the campus now.
I think you should, you know, like, look at everything good you've done in life, how you have, like, come back from a bad thing you've done, if you've stolen, if you've lied, how you have changed yourself for the better or for the worse, how you have reacted to it, how you have just changed yourself.
Yeah. Let's come back from the justice room in heaven to an earthly court. And let's say that I broke a bunch of laws and I'm standing before the judge and I said the same thing. I said, Judge, I really worked on myself. I've changed some things. I'm doing some good things now. What would the judge say to me, a lawbreaker?
The judge would still probably be like, well, you did this.
Exactly. Right. Well, it's nice you did that. That's good. You should. But you still have a debt to pay. That's our problem. We have a huge debt of justice because we've done everything that is unjust. So you're standing before God. He knows you're guilty. You've broken his laws. You've offended him because he's holy. He's perfect and righteous, never does anything wrong. Everything that is true, right, just, and good, that's God. He embodies what is good. He should send us to hell. That's what he should do. He should, because that's what's just. But I can even tell by the look on your face, not a great future, right?
Yeah.
All right. So here's the other part about God that needs to be known, that he's love. And that he's good and he's merciful. But you got some tension here, aren't? He should punish lawbreakers, but he'd love to forgive them and be in a right relationship with them. But if he just forgets about their sins, well, then he's not just, and that would be a problem. And if he just gives us justice, we go to hell, and that's a problem. So here's the solution. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live that life of righteousness, to march to that cross, to take the punishment for your sins. In other words, he pays your debt. He died for sinners, willfully died for people like you and me, that we can be forgiven. So when we stand in God's courtroom, we don't have a rap sheet anymore. And we can be set free because Jesus Christ has paid our fine. That's called the good news of the gospel, Kylie. All of these other systems, and you'll hear about them on the campus, listen for them. Okay. Gotta do this, work for that, try this, don't do that. In other words, you gotta work your way and maybe, just maybe, you'll get there. This says, oh, you'll definitely get there. But here are the terms. You surrender to God. You repent, you turn from your sins. You don't become perfect in an instant, but you go, I don't want those things anymore. I want the ways of the God who died for me. And you put your trust in Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. You trust Jesus like you trust a parachute jumping out of an airplane. That's great news. You can be set free. Your sins can be forgiven. And then he'll go about the business of rewiring you and helping you to think better and to sort things and understand how the brain came together. You'll get reality. You won't have any shame, no more guilt. You'll have purpose and intentionality for the rest of your life. That's Christianity. All right, so Kylie, you said you're a Christian. Here's what Jesus said. Unless a woman is born again, she will not see the kingdom of God. Did you catch that? If Kylie is not born again, she won't see the kingdom of God. All right? So what do you think Jesus meant? You have to be born again.
I think he means born again as in coming with a new, like, belief system. Or wait, yeah.
I think you're getting warm, yeah.
Yeah, like, believing in God, repenting, like, following his beliefs and his way of living.
Yeah. Yeah, it means basically dying to self. It's like, you know what? Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. I've been totally wrong. I'm done with that. I want your ways. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, this is the part of Christianity so many people miss. Jesus didn't just die so your sins could be forgiven. God wants something of you. Do you know what God wants from you, Kylie?
He wants your love. He wants you to, like, repent.
Yeah. He wants you.
Yeah.
He wants you. He actually wants to be in a relationship with sinners. I mean, it's just, we would never imagine something like that. I mean, can you imagine somebody praying, God, here's what I want you to do. I want you to send your son to die on a cross for me, and then I want you to adopt me and love me and give me everlasting. We just never dream of something like that, but that's what he gives us. It's a great offer. So Kylie, what I just presented to you, I think, is a presentation of the best decision you can make, and that is that this is true, and that you can know God because of what Jesus Christ did for you. But the terms are repentance and faith. If you haven't done that, I know you're busy with the tennis stuff, you got neuroscience studies, I can only imagine. This is more important because this is about your soul. Do business with your soul today and make sure that on the day of judgment when you die, God's going to say, come on in, I've been waiting for you, Kylie. I have been looking forward to this day because I love you. And if you believe that that's true, repent, put your trust in Jesus Christ, and life will move from black and white to technicolor. Would you do that today?
Yes.
You're very, very pleasant, and you're way too smart, and that's agitating. All right. Hey, what do you think about this today?
Of course.
All right, Kylie, I thank you for your time.
Now, Todd asked her the question every one of us will have to answer eventually. Will you repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ? She said yes. So let's pray that she will honestly put a lot of thought into the things that she heard from Todd today. Well, we're not finished yet. We still have a few more minutes out on the clock, and Todd has indicated that he has someone else who's walked up.
Cutting the terms of the deal here with Kimani, you play for Georgia Tech football team, and your position is?
Outside linebacker.
I've got a philosophy about football, and I want you to confirm it or deny it for me. Ready? All right, I've been out on the campus talking to a fair number of students today, and none of them are familiar, or at least really familiar, with Christianity. But every time I talk to a football player, whether it's at Georgia Tech, UGA, can I say UGA? Is that okay? Will that get up your nose? Okay. Wherever it is, I'm shocked at how many football players are Christians and really know their theology. Is my theory correct?
It's definitely correct.
Rock on.
Being a Christian, it helps a lot of football players. The football players have the most traumatic, probably life experiences ever. They can definitely get lonely, and they lean on God to help them fill that void.
Yeah, and there's really strong chaplaincy programs I found almost everywhere, like really good ones too.
Definitely is.
All right, then would you be so kind? You're a Christian?
Yes, sir.
Cool. As simply as you can, explain to me what the gospel is.
The gospel is just, how I look at the gospel, it's words from the past that fill a void from today's feelings.
Here's a scenario for you. Instead of approaching you and asking you if you'll confirm my theory, I approach you, I got a knife in the middle of my back. I can't get to it, I am bleeding out. Dude, it is getting fuzzy, I am going down, I'm afraid to die. What would you tell me I must do to go to heaven?
Turn your life over. Everything you do, include God in it. Don't make God a routine.
Dude, I agree with you, but I'm going down.
Tell God thank you.
Okay.
I'm coming home, thank you.
Okay, so everybody's going to go to heaven when they die?
If you turn your life over, definitely. I have faith that everybody can go to heaven.
Okay, so when you say turn your life over, it's not, you're not necessarily thinking about, it's like right now, turn your life over. Can you explain just a little bit more, Kimani, what you mean by that?
Full-heartedly believing that God will have you in any situation that you come across. Anything, any step that you take, believe that God will help you with that step.
What about repentance? Where does that fit into all of this?
You have to repent. Repenting. Everybody gonna sin. You're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. God don't expect you to be perfect, but you have to repent. That's the way God wants us to live our life.
And what if I don't?
God forgive. God forgive, forget. But it's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 to 27. Don't quote me. I think it's 26 to 27, but 23 to 24. God said he will throw you to the pits of hell if you continue to commit the same sin. So if you continuously commit the same sin knowing it's a sin, he won't forgive you at some point. So if you do know it's a sin, I feel you should try to correct yourself. If you don't, I feel like you should get information from the Bible that you should correct yourself.
All right, are you this convinced that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, that if somebody does not repent and trust in him, they're not going to heaven?
101%. I feel like if God said that and quoted that, then he mean that.
Mm-hmm. All right. And the football team, how many of your fellow football players believe the same thing?
A lot of them. Some of them is Muslim. Everybody have their own purposes, but a lot of them is Christian.
Is that right?
And want to turn their life over to God.
Cool. That's awesome. Dude, thank you for the chat.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for confirming my theory, and thanks for not hurting me.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Thanks. All right.
Well, that is going to do it for us now here on Witness Wednesday. Those final two conversations with Kylie and Kimani, those are examples. Two different souls that Todd just talked to. Both of them claiming to be a Christian, but neither one of them able to give the gospel back cleanly when they were asked for it. They were all around it. They knew some parts of it here and some parts of it there. But you know, that's most of the church in this country right now. And it's the reason that Todd continues to go back out on the campus each and every week. And we have much more Witness Wednesday coming next week and more Wretched Radio coming tomorrow. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.